In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Repent. The prophet Jeremiah stood in the courts of the temple and preached the message of repentance to the priests, the prophets, the people, and all the officials of Judah. Reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. His message was nothing new. For 800 years, ever since the Lord had brought Israel out of the land of slavery, Israel had waffled back and forth between God and between idols. Idolatry was nothing new for them. Yet the Lord was patient. In love, he sent their enemies to oppress them, to open their eyes to see their need for the Lord. For 400 years, he sent them the judges to drive out those enemies. For 400 years after that, he anointed kings. Some kings followed the Lord, others turned away from the Lord. When Hezekiah was anointed king of Israel, he set out to cleanse the temple from all its idolatry. It took him 14 days to remove all the false images and idols from the temple. So great was Israel's idolatry. But it didn't last long. Jehoiakim is one of the last kings of Judah, and he reintroduced a lot of those idol worship practices. So in a couple of years, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians would plunder Jerusalem multiple times, break down the wall, leaving Jerusalem completely defenseless, burn the palace and the temple. All because Judah failed to repent. The Lord is patient, but his patience does have limits. When he sent Jonah to the Ninevites, they repented in sackcloth and ashes. When he sent his prophet to his own people, they wanted to kill him. They trusted in their own lineage. They trusted in their own temple, a beautiful building certainly God would not destroy. They trusted in Baal and Asherah instead of the Lord. Their history shows how foolish they were. Perhaps our waffling isn't as great as Israel's, but nevertheless, sin is idolatry. It is choosing to follow another god, and usually that god is ourselves and our decisions. And so in love, the Lord sends us things that wake us up, things that remind us that he alone is the Lord and our help is in him. And in him alone, we are but poor sinners, and our lives are much more than simply temporary. We may be temporarily on this earth, but we were created to be eternal beings. The question is, where will we spend that eternity? When our Lord encourages us to repent, he encourages us that our entire lives should be one of repentance. So each and every day we are to turn away from sin and toward the Lord in faith. Each and every day we are to flee to the Lord for forgiveness. There is no other help. This is our life. Repentance is not a one-time event that happens at the moment of conversion, but it's who we are. Christians are repentant, and the repentant are Christians because they are constantly turning away from themselves, away from their sins, and to the Lord in faith. The world understands nothing of this repentance. They understand remorse, and they confuse repentance with remorse. Remorse is feeling guilty over something that you have done. So the world feels guilty when they do something wrong. They recognize they can't blame someone else. It was their fault that they did the action. They won't try to make excuses. Often embarrassment and guilt go along with remorse. They even will cite the golden rule, do unto others as you want done unto you. They strive to do better next time. They recognize that their behavior has to change, and they also recognize that there is punishment involved for their prior actions. But society is the one who hands out that punishment. We see this play out quite often. or someone says something or does something that is against societal opinion, and they either lose their job, or if they are some star, the sponsor drops them. Going through these punishments, showing a proper sign of remorse, is enough to earn acceptance back into society. But repentance is far different. The first part of repentance is contrition. Now, remorse is similar to contrition, but contrition actually goes a step further. It doesn't see the offense primarily as against a friend or a neighbor, but as primarily against God. And so the one who hands out the punishment is God, not society. Contrition, then, is more than sadness over sin. Contrition is terror over sin, because there's no way out. No way to make it up to God, no penance that can be done to appease God, even if I make it up to my neighbor. It was my fault, my own most grievous fault. So we deserve to have God give us temporal and eternal punishments. Contrition is terror over sin because it recognizes that I and I alone am responsible for what I have said, thought, and done. And there is only one gate that our sins lead us to. But if we stop there with the world at only contrition, if we stop there with Judas and with Saul, we will end only in despair. Remorse stops there because there the God of society is appeased. But our God is not appeased by how sorrowful we are. Repentance trusts in a different God. So the second part of repentance is faith in Christ. The repentant run to the very one that they have sinned against. They do not flee away from Christ. They do not try to hide from Christ, but they confess what is true about themselves. They confess what they truly deserve from this God, but then they expect God to fix it for them, to provide the solution. So through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord said, "If you reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God, then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced on you." We look to God in faith because he alone has provided the solution for our sin. Without him, there is nothing more than a just and heavy hand weighing on us, from which we can never escape. But faith trusts that God will keep his word. Faith trusts that Christ is enough for me. Faith trusts that his death is enough to cover a multitude of my sins, all of them indeed. Faith trusts that I cannot die because someone else has already died in my place. Faith trusts that I am innocent before God because he has baptized me into that death. Faith trusts that God has proven his love for me on the cross, and God has proven his love for me in the Holy Supper again and again. The Lord must forgive. He must love. Not because we said we were sorry. Not because we somehow made it up to him. But because he himself has provided satisfaction for our sin. For Christ's sake, God will forgive. But then the repentant go out and seek to amend their life. They seek to live according to the commands of God. They will not delight in sin. They will not strive with the ways of the world. They will seek to conform their life according to those commandments of God. He is God, we are not. We simply follow him joyfully. And that is why repentance is something that is a daily exercise for us. For daily we get it wrong. Daily we look away from ourselves. Daily we look to Christ in faith. Daily we strive to live to the praise and glory of God. And even though at times our sanctified living may improve, and outward behavior gets better, and we stop those manifest sins, we still are repentant. For we do not simply acknowledge the sins that we see, but we acknowledge the sins that God sees. we confess what God sees. And in Christ, all that God sees is covered with the blood of Christ. We are pure, we are spotless. God is our God. He is on our side. So he has relented, and he will not bring the disaster on us that he announced, because Christ has already endured it in our place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.